up to Junior Church. Today we're going to look at the topic of moms, and I entitled this morning's message, Great Moms and a Greater God. Great Moms and a Greater God. I hope you have already enjoyed the service. I want to have a word of prayer, and we're going to jump into this topic this morning, so let's pray. Lord, thank you for the teaching opportunity today, us to come together. Thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. Lord, we want to especially thank you for all of our moms. Thank you for their influence on our life. And God, I pray that if our moms are still with us on this side of eternity, that we'd make sure we take the time to tell them we love them. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the great hope that we have to be reunited with those who've gone on before us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, my first question this morning is, what makes a great mom? And I thought, well, we could discuss that for a while, but I imagine most of us would come to the ultimate conclusion that a great mom is a mom who loves, right? A loving mother. And I think it goes on to then to take the next step and recognize, I think we'd all agree, that moms can have and do have tremendous influence, right? I was thinking to myself as we began this morning to have a little maybe mini testimony time about things that you find yourself doing or saying that causes you to stop and say, I'm doing or saying exactly what my mother did or my mother would. Now, I thought this morning to give a starting point and to demonstrate, you know, a great mom and a perfect mom, I would give you a picture of the great mom. That would be my mom. Isn't she cute? There you go. Politics. I could filibuster. You got that right on this one. You know, there's my mom and that other guy hanging around with her. I love her, and yet I find myself when I'm talking to somebody, and it might even be one of you, so I'll just admit my problem, my sin. Sometimes people will talk to me, and I'm analyzing grammatical structure and usage. That's from her. My mom liked to, before we would leave the house going anywhere, she had to go through and shut all the closet doors. So I find myself, whenever I leave the house, I want to go through and make sure all the doors inside are shut. Whenever I do laundry, which is rare because Jenny doesn't let me touch the machines. But when I do laundry, I remember when I was in high school, about ready to go off to college, my mom said, okay, we're going to have laundry sessions, because I didn't realize how much work that was all those years. And then sometimes when, even some, again, y'all have no idea how much I really want to fight and how much I really want to verbally, woo, I'm good at that. And guess who that comes from? Not my dad. My Irish mom, her maiden name be McLaren. And that explains a lot, right? Y'all go, oh, that explains Pastor. Yeah, he's got a lot of Irish in me. Yeah, that's it. And so when I find myself doing them, at times I stop and realize the influence of my mom. So for a few moments here, maybe as I've given you a chance to think a little bit, anybody here this morning want to share maybe something that you do or say that reminds you of what your mom would have done? Anybody? Yeah, Nick? Treat others as you would like to be treated. Your mom drilled that into you, huh? Excellent. Anybody else? Yeah, Emery. You close the closet doors. You have a godly mother too. Okay, and you still find yourself wanting to do it? Have you broken with that yet, Jamie? No? Okay. Jenny's, a little bit. I'm leaving dirty dishes in the sink all night. That's another thing my mom would never do. I'm doing that. Anybody else? Yes, Anna Mae. Oh, that's a good one. Everybody godly ought to do that. Anna Mae says she pre-rinses her dishes before they go into the dishwasher. My mom taught me that one too. Yes, that lovely young lady in the back in the sound room.
Spotless.
So my daughter says that she, whenever visitors come, just like her mother, she has to make sure she basically gets the menu of whatever they want and make sure that that's exactly what she has in the house. And then the house has to be spotless. That's why I like it when people come over. Thanks, Allie. anybody else? Yeah, Carol Jean. She never let you go to sleep at night without telling you she loved you. Aw. Now, Daddy was another thing. Oh, that's precious. Yeah, I think I saw, was it Alda? All right. She says her mom was, whenever the doors of the church were open, she was there. I think I like your mom, and I'll meet her one day and say, thank you for teaching. That way you could teach Bill. It worked out really good. Anybody, I saw some hands over here. I think I did. No, no, no. Yes, Joe? He says he can't go to bed unless his bed is made first. So sometimes at night when he hasn't made his bed, he makes his bed so then he can get into bed. Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe's mom, right? Shirley. That's a good one. Oh, well, you know it. Yeah, Woody. Well, Woody's mom, who's probably listening to this or watching, your son Andrew says that he remembers all the times you showed him the night sky and put snowflakes underneath the microscope. He's not going to get a lot of use for that here, but... smell the paper mill. Hey, people say, oh, they smell that paper mill. Oh, it smells like smells like this and smells like that. And I always say to them, smells like jobs to me. Amen. Right, DT? Smells like money. Smells like money. Yeah, all the ones you handed over to Tommy. Yeah, that's it. That works out. Anybody else? Yeah, Jen. Yes, Jenny liked it whenever the kids were sick. They liked to get sick because she'd make them a little bed on the couch and give them a little TV tray. And no wonder our son of this day says, I'm sick, I'm sick. Thanks, mother-in-law. But you did. You were very good at that and very caring. Very pastor. Yes, Rebecca. Yes, see, it's contagious. Anybody sick here this morning want a TV tray and... All right. Whenever Rebecca says every time she's cooking with Alyssa, she remembers cooking with her mom. And that's excellent. Anybody else? Y'all are doing good here. Yeah, Cody? When you were away from God, you probably weren't going to make it to 23. Pastor Cody's thankful for his mom's faithfulness in never giving up on him. That's good. All right, y'all going. That's interesting stuff. And I think I'm going to vote. You know, my favorite's probably Joe. I like that one, and I'm going to think about that all the time. And that's great. But thank you, Mom. All to all of our moms, we want to recognize just the wonderful job that you all do, and we're so thankful for each and every one of you, and thank you for being here today. Well, okay, we can recognize that great moms love, and great moms obviously have a lot of influence. They're a picture of the love of God. That's why even in terms of salvation, we know that God is our heavenly creator. Love the whole world, as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I pray that you've come to know the love of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ today. Now, today I want you to turn in your Bibles for to take this principle we've already discussed, and let's look at it out of the Scriptures. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter number 49, all right? Isaiah chapter number 49. I know that today, as I show you out of the prophet Isaiah, how God shows us what is a great mom, and a great mom is a picture of a greater God. A great mom is a picture of a greater God. All moms, I think, here this morning would tell you, I personally have never met one that doesn't feel this way. If you're a mom that doesn't feel this way, after the service, please let me know or send me a text, because I'd be interested to know if you say this. But I think all moms at times feel inadequate and feel insufficient. Right, moms? It's an overwhelming job. Now, I can't totally identify with it because I'm a man and I just don't care. And that's the problem. Right, all the men are going, you moms are all intense, and they're going, why aren't you upset? I'm saying, I don't know. What time's the game start? You know, it's why Mother's Day is very, very appropriate. Why I think Father's Day is, you know, Mother's Day is a big deal. And I thought, as we come to the Scriptures, in Isaiah 49, we're finding that God is reminding Israel of a coming day of restoration following the destruction and persecution of the Antichrist. So they've been through a very, very difficult time, and now God, in this part of Isaiah, is encouraging them. They are feeling not so good, and yet God comes along and is trying to encourage them. So we pick that idea up in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 14. The Bible says, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, the Lord hath forgotten me. And so God's trying to encourage them, and Jerusalem looks at God and says, no, you've forsaken me and you've forgotten me. And I imagine this morning, many of us have felt a time or two with our relationship with God, and maybe even in a relationship with a mom, that you've forgotten me or forsaken me. And this is why God's going to go on here now in our text and use a picture of a great mom to show that he is even a greater God. Notice in verse number 15, in the first part of the verse, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? God asks the question, can a mom forget the birthing process and the nurturing process of a child? Can a mom not have a love for her child? You see, the fundamental principle here is that great moms never forget and never stop loving their kids. If we were to say, you know, that's a great mom there and he's a great mom, when it comes down to it, is a mom that never forgets her kids and never stops loving the kids. But I would ask every parent here, moms and dads, of times do we fail to show perfect love towards our kids? Now, you don't have to necessarily answer this out loud, but have you ever forgotten your child? Have you ever forgotten your child somewhere? Now, I know I'm not going to tell anybody any names here, but it has happened before where people have left their children at church. And I know you tell me it's on accident. And now it's partly because, let's be honest, the little kids, you know, the junior church age kids, most of the time at our church, they don't want to leave. There's been many a time, especially when newer families are here and the kids aren't really sure, they're always coming back, that I've seen parents have to lug their child. And some of you are here early on when you first came here, they didn't want to leave the nursery with all the cool toys or their buddies there having a good time. And they're, what do you mean church is over? I don't want to leave. I love those kind of kids, by the way. But have you ever forgotten your kids? You know, back in the day, I was one of those children that if we went to a store or something, I got particular pleasure out of tormenting my mother. My mom tells the story, and Mom, if you're watching or listening, I know you'd verify this, and if you were here, I'd probably hear a better version of it. But remember the old 5 and 10 cent stores like Woolworths? Anybody remember a Woolworths? Some of y'all do, you know, like Ben Franklin, the 5 and 10 store. And they used to have like a little fountain soda thing there. Remember the good old days? Oh, that was the good old days. I try to get the little candy on the countertop. You'd pay a penny for it and get a piece of candy. Or you'd sit up there in those little stools and they'd bring sodas to you and stuff. Oh, man, those are the good old days. But they used to have clothing in there. It was kind of all kinds of things. And I remember, you know, those circular clothing things, the big circle racks, you know? I would hide in the middle of it. Yeah, you did that too, Andrew? Surprise, surprise. That does not surprise me. You and I have that in common. And my mom would be looking for me and being all worried and everything. And then I'd get it, you know, when she'd tell my dad on me and I'd get it. But, you know, obviously, unfortunately, in today's environment, and I never can wrap my mind totally around this. I know this has happened to some parents totally on accident and things happen, but, you know, there are some parents and some moms. I remember the story, I think it was in North Carolina, where a mom decided to go to the casino because she just wanted to gamble just a little bit. And left her child in the car, and the child died. You know, it's terrible to forget a child. Yet, the bottom line is, none of us are perfect parents, and at times we fail it. And I love the fact, as I'm reading this verse, that God talks about great moms, but he's honest, and notice in the last part of verse 15, after he asked the question, can a mom forget her child? Notice what he says in verse 15 of the last half. Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget. The reality is sometimes moms do forget. I don't think great moms do. One of the hard things about Mother's Day and Father's Day and being in the ministry and you know, trying to bring a biblical principle to y'all that is, you know, meaningful and helpful and encouraging, is Mother's Day is tough for some people. Because some of the people that even would be a part of our church family are people you meet. Let's be honest. I'm going to say what they tell me. Pastor, you don't understand, I had a lousy mom. Matter of fact, and Pastor Daniel will tell you, I almost entitled this morning's message, Lousy Moms. But I didn't think it'd go very well on the thumbnail on social media. I've already gotten banned once from Facebook. I don't know if that'd get it or not, but some might be here today that you didn't have a great mom. Maybe you had a less than stellar mom. Maybe you had a mom that your memories are almost entirely hurtful. But God says the good news is there are great moms, but there is a greater God. And God will not forget. Matter of fact, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And if you're one of those people that feel that way, and oftentimes we move upon the image of God, the image of our parents or the personality, and don't feel like we can trust. And the Bible just declares, and I want you to know this morning, that God loves you and God cares for you and God will not forget. Now the Lord goes on in the next couple verses to give a real, like a lesson of love of a great God and a great mom. And two traits about them. And the first thing I want you to see is there's a permanent love. There's a permanency. There's a permanent love. Notice in verse number 16, the Bible says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. That's pretty permanent. Now, some commentators want to say that this is, you know, tattooing. I don't want to necessarily get into that. I don't know if you could be dogmatic with that. Some people want to use this as a signet that would be in his hand, and they use some old Hebrew and Aramaic things to demonstrate that. I don't know which one. Maybe they both have the Hebrew word is pretty strong there, but the bottom line is God says, I have graven thee, the city of Jerusalem, the people of God, upon my hands. God says to them, you're inscribed in my hands, and we know as we look at this passage that Israel is God's chosen people. Israel is the people of Messiah, and Jerusalem is the city of God. It is not the city of Allah. Ooh, come on, that's worth an amen. I don't know when, but I'm telling you, boy, I'm gonna get in trouble for this. But that's all right. One of these days, don't mark my words because my words mean nothing. But mark it upon the authority of the Word of God. One day there won't be a big golden dome on top of the Temple Mount, and Jerusalem is the city of God and the city of His people. Period. Full stop, as Dan Bongino would say. God will never forget. God says, I inscribed you into my hands. God loved his people, is involved with his people. Why? Because through them he would come as a man. The Lord Jesus Christ would come through the line of the Jewish people. That through him, through Jesus Christ, all the world would have access to God and eternal life. And God got his hands dirty as he walked this sin-cursed earth that we destroyed. As the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was beaten and scourged and crucified as you and I took the nails and inscribed his hands. You remember after the resurrection of Christ, even one of his closest men on this planet during his earthly ministry, the Apostle Thomas, we know him as Doubting Thomas, although he goes on to be a great hero of the faith. Oftentimes I think that's forgotten. But remember, Jesus shows up in the room and says to Thomas, who said he wouldn't believe unless he could see, remember what he said in John 20, verse 27, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know, you have a special blessing here this morning, all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, that Jesus speaks of here, that we have not at this point seen fleshly with our eyes, but only through the eyes of faith, and yet we have believed. And the Bible goes on to say, when you and I believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life, when we believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, that the Bible says that God grants unto us eternal life. We are brought into the family of God, and Ephesians chapter 1 says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, you ain't going to be lost. There's my good English, Mom. I ain't going to be lost. Matter of fact, Jesus himself in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29 said that we will never perish. His sheep will, his believers will never perish. Why? Because God says that we are in, or Jesus says, we are in the Father's hand, and no man is able to pluck them from my Father's hand, not even you. We are inscribed in his hands, and I want you to know this morning the trait of a great mom is permanent love, and the trait of even a greater God is an eternal permanency of the love of God for you. And he loves all men everywhere, but it's not that God doesn't love men everywhere, it's that men choose not to respond to the love and the call of God. And don't give me the thing, what about the people over the other side of the world? Well, the Bible says they have creation, and that creation, Psalm 19, declares the glory of God. And I believe fervently that the judge of all the earth will do right, and that there's any person, any boy, any girl, anywhere on this planet that has a heart to find out who the real creator is, God in his holy righteousness will reveal himself to them one way or another. Maybe it's through missions, which is why local churches ought to be about missions. Amen. Or whether God chose an angel, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, God will send a way. And when a person responds to the call of God that goes out to the entire world, there's now this, the Bible calls us now, we are a child of God. John 1:12. And we are inscribed in the very hands of God. And when you and I get to glory, and we are reminded, I think, forever and ever of what Jesus Christ did what God did to redeem us. The price that he paid. The hands that served. You know, I think great moms have that, are a picture of that. I think this morning, I will not do this because you'd kill me if I did this. And I'm afraid of the moms, so I'm not going to do this. But I imagine if I were to walk around to the moms here this morning that have active small children right now, and I would say, hold out your hands. Let me look at your hands. Most of them would probably be a little dried out. Maybe have some cuts and bruises. Because mom's hands are engraved with all the changed diapers that they do, all the meals they prepare, all the nights those hands are up giving care when a little child is sick or when their husband, their bigger baby, is sick. Right? Wives? Okay, yeah. They don't want to say it, but yeah. All the times those hands are disciplining in love. All the times those hands are folded in prayer. All the times those hands clap for the successes of our children or for their children. And all the times that the hands wrap around and give a hug during times of defeat and discouragement. The hands that serve, and it leaves a mark on the hands of a mom. Pretty good stuff, isn't it? You see, God says that there's a permanency to the love of a great mom and an even greater love of a greater God. Well, second and last this morning, not only is there a permanency that shows a permanent love, but there's a pleading that shows a pleading love. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 16. First says, behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And then he says, thy walls are continually before me. Now, again, because I've explained to you the context, you understand he's talking about the city of Jerusalem there. God says, I see the walls of Jerusalem, and they are continually before me. Now, I didn't understand really what is he trying to say here, and I read several commentaries, but again, I think studying underneath a Jewish believer, Dr. Frutenbaum, I went to Dr. Frutenbaum's commentary on the book of Isaiah, and Dr. Frutenbaum pointed me to Isaiah chapter 62 and verse number 6 that says this, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Dr. Frutenbaum points out that this verse back here in Isaiah 49 where he says thy walls are continually before me are a reference to an angelic ministry of the angels. That the angels stand on the very walls of Jerusalem and plead out on behalf of the city and the people of God to the very throne of God. Matter of fact, Dr. Frutenbaum, who is very well known, he takes groups over to Israel and does tours of the Holy Land, and what an honor it would be to go under his guidance. He's so knowledgeable on the scriptures, and if you know his story, his family comes from a long line of rabbis, and he became a believer in Jesus Christ, and just a tremendous Bible teacher. And one of the things Dr. Frutenbaum does, he says in his commentary to every group that he takes to Jerusalem, is he said, if they're physically able, he says, we walk around the entirety of the walls of the old city of Jerusalem. The old city, if you know over there today, you can go around the old city. It's about 2.5 miles. And he says, and as he goes around the city and he points out the different towers and the different gates of the city, he always stops and reminds them that on that wall there may be, and somewhere on one of these walls, according to Isaiah 49 and Isaiah 62, that though we cannot see them through these fleshly eyes, that Dr. Frutenbaum says that on those walls, he believes in a very literal interpretation here, and I would agree with him, that there are angels to this very day on the walls of Jerusalem pleading to the very throne of God for the protection and the blessing upon the people of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Woo, that's... Matter of fact, Dr. Frutenbaum in his dry humor that only people like me and Brock Miller can really enjoy. Maybe Danny does a little bit. He calls the angels the heavenly nags. I thought that was funny. It's Mother's Day. Heavenly nags. Come on, it works. Sorry, moms. I'm in trouble for that one. Nobody said that about their mom, I noticed. The husbands say, you didn't ask me. Okay. The principle here is God sets those angels on the walls to cry out continually. You know, I asked the question to myself, because I ask these kind of questions I study, does God forget? You know, you think God forgets the promises he makes? That would kind of not make him God if he forgot, didn't he? And so I don't think the reason God commands and has the angels there are from the same purpose that we might do from a human perspective, you know, and I imagine we could have debate upon it, but I think it's a demonstration of the priority of the people of Israel and of the promises of God and his eagerness to fulfill those promises. And every day that goes by, you and I are living in one day closer to the return of Jesus Christ, and the trumpet's going to sound, and the end times are coming, and I don't know, maybe the things can get crazier in this world than they are. I suppose they can, because if we get up tomorrow morning, it'll probably be crazier. But would you not agree with me that these are some very unusual times in which we live? That our country, one of the last bastion of freedom around the world, that we're selling the sovereignty of our nation out to the stinking United Nations and other places? If you don't recognize what is happening on a global scale, politically and economically, you are very naive. And I'm not trying to make everything fit. I'm not trying to force it. I'm just saying in a general reading of the scriptures and what the Bible says is coming from humanity, we are seeing happen. And yet, don't ever lose sight of the fact that the Word of God and the angels of God continue to plead the love of God. That's why great moms never quit pleading to God on behalf of her kids. That's a great mom. They never quit. They are reminded that God has placed them as a prayer warrior on the walls of the family. By the way, that's why when I think of the walls of Jerusalem, why are they there? They're there for protection and they're there for boundaries. That's why I don't understand why some of our politicians don't understand that a country that doesn't enforce its borders is not a country. That's the whole point of having a border. And it's a sad day when it's a lot harder for me to get into the health clinic at UAB Medical Clinic to get cardiac work done than it is to cross the Rio Grande. Well, that's another message. I read one guy that said this, not in my notes, but only our southern border in hell has an open border policy. God has immigration standards. It's called Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. So, just saying, that was extra. That wasn't even in my notes. That just came out, all right? Great moms never quit. And they're on the walls for protection and boundaries. Great moms tell their kids no. All the old, well, older, won't get myself in trouble there, all the old ladies said. all the grandparents said. Okay, a few of them agree with me. You know, we've all had, and by the way, you parents, you say, trust me. I hope at our church, I don't want to be a judgmental church. I was sharing with Brother Brian in autumn this morning. They're having fun at picture time back there, and I was having a little laugh at their expense. Where is Brian in here? I don't know. I lost him. He was in here a minute ago. But they didn't want to take pictures. I'm like, okay, I have been there. All of us as parents, if you've parented, you know what it is that your parent or your kids are a little bit not where they're supposed to be and a little out of control, right? None of us do it perfect. But boy, I sure do miss the day when if a parent in a store told their child to come and they didn't come, other parents rallied to their cause. When I was a kid, if you were in the grocery store and I didn't come at the other end of the aisle, number one, I knew my dad was going to be coming for me at some point, and that was not going to be pleasant. But number two, I might go through the spanking machine like when you went to a birthday party they used to have in the old days, you know. You might, every parent in the aisle might spank you on the way down there, you know. Don't disrespect your mother like that, you know. Boundaries, protection. Ultimately, great moms plead the promises of God on behalf of their kids to the very throne of God. And they never quit. Now, I know one of the hardest things, because I'm there and my wife and I are there as parents, that our kids are full-grown adults and they're making choices now, sometimes not the choices we like. Except Allie, she always does everything perfect. Pretty good, wasn't it, Andrew? On how to keep your media person happy, because she can put anything up there. I have no control of the media. So keep her happy. And sometimes they do things or make a choice, and there's a consequence that I can't solve, nor maybe should I. But it doesn't mean that I would ever stop, or that I know my kid's mom never stops pleading on their behalf. And I know there are probably some moms here watching, listening here this morning, that your heart still breaks maybe in some area with your kids, adult kids. No, you may not be able to fix it, but you can still plead to the very throne of God. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Great verse. Great moms. They have a permanent love, and they have a pleading love. And an even greater God has an eternal, permanent love and receives our pleading on behalf of love. I'm reminded of a story of many years ago of a newspaper that decided it would go out and try to figure out who are the 12 greatest moms in American history. And they began to argue and took the historians and started doing debating. And one of the moms that made this list, her name is Mina. And here she is. Sorry, it's a little bit of an older picture. She probably wouldn't like it if she were here today. But there she is. There's Mom Mina. And she had some kids, and she had a little boy. He struggled in school. And I think all the moms here would probably agree that one of the worst things when your kids, the great things are, hey, they're in school all day. And then they come home with homework, and then you got to deal with the school and the teachers, and it gets, you know how it goes. We love teachers, though, Joe. Okay, Monica, we love the teachers, right? But her little boy just didn't do very well in school. And it wasn't very long before she started getting notes sent home about her little boy, that his behavior wasn't quite up to the other children's behavior, and he was causing disruptions in class, and so she would have to go down to the school, and there was back and forth. And then as the grade reports would come home, he would get failing grades, D's and F's pretty much along the way, and the little notes on the report card, remember us old-timers that you actually used to get a report card? They still give out actual report cards, or they all emailed or texted or whatever else. Monica, Joe, do you guys give out report cards anymore?
You have the option.
They have the option. All right, private school. Okay, I guess you get an option. But remember when they used to write, the teacher would write on the little report card, you know? And a teacher literally wrote to Mina about her little boy. "He doesn't seem to be able to keep up with the other children. Maybe you should consider alternate types of education." This led to more teacher meetings and more conflict. This led to long nights doing homework. where her little boy wanted to quit and there were tears at the dining room table. But she would not let him quit. And even though he would do his homework, the grades remained about the same until finally, as he grew into later elementary school, the school came to her and said, you know, he's just not cut out for school. Teach him a trade or let him work in an agricultural thing for a farmer somewhere, but he's just not going to cut it. Now, I think most moms would have wilted under these years of adversity and negativity about their child. But not her. It kind of ticked her off, and she said, you know what? The problem is not my child. The problem is you. And I'll show you because I'll educate him myself. And she was one of the very early advocates for homeschooling. And it didn't go easily, and there was tough work along the way, but it turns out that her old son was not quite as intellectually deficient as had been led, because Mina's last name is Edison. You might know her son, Thomas Edison. Remember him? Famous quote, when you've exhausted all possibilities, remember this, you haven't. Love that. Pretty smart guy, isn't he? And that newspaper figured the only one greater maybe than Thomas Edison is Thomas Edison's mom. He's a great mom. Why? Because she had a permanent love and she had a pleading love. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the teaching of your word today. Thank you for moms and the blessing, and for those of us who are privileged to have a great mom, how we ought to rejoice and be thankful for you. But Lord, maybe there's some here today that they didn't have a great mom, but as your word said this morning, you are there for those who mom and dad have forsaken them to demonstrate love and a pleading. Maybe there's someone listening today and you've never experienced the love of God personally. There's never been a time where you personally received the free gift of eternal life, responded to the love of God. Would you make that choice today? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Would you trust him today? Maybe there's some of you that have been carrying hurts for a long time, maybe back from your childhood that you need to release unto God. Maybe there's a mom here today that you're just discouraged, and my prayer for you is that you'd be encouraged by the word of God. Just keep going. Holy Spirit of God, seal decisions today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you please stand with me and Brother Joe's going to...